Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right. We're back at you. And we've got Pastor Joe Larson, my mentor and good friend. We got Style back there sort of steering the ship for us. And my name is Randy Gay. I'm one of the deacons at What's Right, What's Left. And Pastor Ernie's, I'm sorry, Doers of the Word Baptist Church. So I'll let you go back, Joe, to what you were talking, and now we'll finish up with the last hour.
If Style has it, I'd like him to, we'll play that hymn at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. I got that. Okay. The top story I want to do, I'll pick mine and then you pick yours, Randy.
Sure, okay.
The founder of Soros-funded propaganda news network has been visiting the Biden White House nearly 20 times. We call George Soros one of the most evil, wicked men in the world, not just in America. He has called himself a god. He is a one-world order George. He is evil almost incarnate. And he has been giving huge sums of money to a group called Courier Newsroom. The CEO is Atara McGowan, and she is one who's had very close access to the White House. And Soros's nonprofit finances Palestinian protests around. We know that William Lajeunesse, the reporter on a charity watchdog group called the nonprofit Tides, has been receiving donations from billionaire George. He's donated millions to these pro-Palestinian rallies that you are seeing around our country and different parts of the country and colleges and universities. So here's this man. He's a billionaire, and he spends so much money on leftist things. So this political operative, we've got a lot of these organizations masquerading as now local news outlets. And this Tara McGowan is the founder and publisher of this Courier Newsroom. And she's also set up with other ties in with other organizations and other people. And she met with several of the president's advisors several times. One was Jordan Finkelstein, was the chief of staff to one of the senior advisors. And the other was Patrick Stevenson. And Stevenson leads the White House's digital strategy and works with that kind of thing, all the internet connections and advertising. So as I went looking through pages of this stuff, and one person's connected to another, they launched other organizations, Priority USA, a super PAC. They launched Good Information Incorporated. It's quite to counter fake news and disinformation. Again, see, very liberal. Again, Soros' money everywhere you look. And now his son has become the kingmaker, and he has been having, George Soros' own son, is having many, many meetings now with top lawmakers in the Democrat Party. And as we're going down the list, Courier has received millions from other liberal mega donors, including tech billionaire Reid Hoffman. And I think Reid Hoffman, trying to remember what group he has, having a senior moment. It's one of those big liberal organizations. Anyway, the George Soros's Open Society is another group still controlled by George that has dealed out cash. So what they're doing is they're setting up little news organizations all over the country with all different names. They're all supposed to be independent news organizations. And yet what? They're all backed by liberal billionaires. And Soros, this one group, the Courier Newsroom, three grants, $5 million a grant, to support, quote, what, nonpartisan journalism, to further common good and general welfare by providing access to information. And now, listen to what George says. Open Society is proud to be among several funders who support Courier Newsroom, which is responding to the disappearance of so many trusted local news organizations across the United States to provide quality, local, values-driven journalism and to meet the readers where they are online. So here you have it. I don't have all the names, but there are in about 20 different states. There are several dozen different names that all tie in. They all come back to Tara McGowan, the founder and publisher of Courier Newsroom, and they are offshoots of this, founded by the two biggest billionaire liberal donors. I can't tell you, you know, who to watch out for in California, who, you know, what names to watch out for in Illinois or Florida, but start paying attention because that's what they're doing. A lot of the local news that couldn't stay in business, this group can go in. Why? Because they've got these huge backers. They have the money. They can operate their little newsrooms at a loss or a break even, because the people that are running these little news private journalist organizations are being bought and paid for by one of the most wicked men in the world. And that's why they will be in business this election year, handing out, quote, disinformation, misinformation. They'll tell you they're going to protect you from it, but their goal is to do exactly that, give you misinformation, diffuse the truth, lead you astray. So beware where you get your news, who it's coming from, and try and realize just because somebody starts a new little news organization or, you know, a website in your area, your state, be very careful where you're getting your news. And Randy, it gets harder and harder to be a watchman on the wall. I can tell people this much, that I have been unable to get the names of all those different little organizations. I'm working on it, but I guess all I can do is warn the people to be cautious, right?
That's right. And I wonder why. You know, the other thing that you brought out that everybody keeps thinking is, I thought the Republicans had all the money. But anyway,
this myth of the rich Republicans. You know,
that's right.
90%
those are all rich people.
Are liberal or more.
That's exactly. I got another article here that actually kind of dovetails with yours. It has to do with the media. It says the White House Spanish language social media account didn't mention Transgender Day of Visibility. The Biden White House came under a fire this week for promoting the Transgender Day of Visibility on the same day as Easter. Some people have noticed, however, that the Spanish language accounts for the White House did not mention this. Why do you suppose that is? Is it possible that Team Biden knows that this would have been a losing move with Spanish speakers?
I think that sounds pretty good.
Are they admitting that the Latino voters would have been offended by such a message? Isn't that interesting? And furthermore, in the article, it says, while the Biden administration wished followers of both pages a happy Easter, it was only the English language account that celebrated the Transgender Day of Visibility on March 31st.
He can insult us, but he didn't want to mess with the other voting base that's been Democrats.
The Hispanic message is La Casa Bianca, of course, the White House. That's what they call their webpage to them. It says commemorated Cesar Chavez Day instead of Transgender Day. It says, today we remember Cesar Chavez and his notable efforts to bring bring dignity to the work of agricultural workers in our country. His legacy lives on in the administration's values and its support for social justice and economic equality for organized labor. Now, in the English message, it's the White, which is called the White House account, exposed the transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation. On Transgender Day of Visibility, our administration honors the extraordinary courage of transgender Americans and reaffirms our commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are treated equally. Now, it says apparently the White House fears that Spanish-speaking Americans might be offended by Biden's decision to conflate Easter with Transgender Day of Visibility. Perhaps it's an even greater degree, than the English speakers do. Mr. President, it's offensive to Christianity in all languages. And I'll just kind of leave the article at that, but I have to agree with that. But think about that. I didn't know until really today that, in fact, they did do a different message. And that's obvious that they are aiming this at different sects, and they're priming the pump, we'll say, for the election. And it's sheer hypocrisy is what it is.
Right. The truth is whatever we think the people want to hear, and we're going to tell them what they want to hear. Not the truth, not what they should hear, but what we think they should hear, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Hey, I've got one here. I thought I'd never see the day. Do you know who Richard Dawkins is?
Yeah, I know who he is, yeah.
He's a biologist.
Right.
He is one of the world's famous atheists, right?
That's right. That's right.
Now... Fox News has a story, and the headline, famous atheist said he identifies as a cultural Christian and is horrified by the promotion of Islamic holiday. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
This is the guy. I'll give him credit for one thing. He's made it absolutely clear that sex is binary. You know, he doesn't buy any of this. There are, you know, 43 different versions or 60, whatever it is now they have. They've got so many I can't keep track. But he came out and said he identifies as a cultural Christian in an interview after learning that Ramadan lights were hung on a street in the UK as opposed to hanging, you know, symbols that celebrate Easter.
But, Pastor Joe, what's a cultural Christian? What is
all right,
that?
Let me explain. So he's, you know, the mayor of London is a Muslim, turned on all these 30,000 lights to celebrate Ramadan, right, you know, Resurrection Sunday. And he said, Dawkins said, I must say I'm slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead of Christianity. I feel like we are a Christian country in England, right? Now, he said, now remember, I'm an atheist. You know, Christianity's going down. I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if we lost our cathedrals, we lost our churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it wouldn't matter if we substituted any alternate religion. That would be truly dreadful. So what he's saying, Randy, I'm a cultural Christian, is I want to live in a country that has Christian values and morals and protections and freedoms, although I don't believe in God, Christ, and any of that garbage, using his words. He calls it garbage. But I don't want to live on any other government that has any other religion, because I wouldn't be free to spout my atheistic beliefs. I wouldn't be free to say what I think and feel. And I'm much safer in a Christian nation, so I'm a culturally, I want to live in a Christian country. That's what a cultural Christian is.
That is that's an oxymoron, is what that is.
But in a way, it's for a person who's lost, it is intelligent. He's intelligent enough to see he's safer and better off in a Christian country than any other religion in the world, any Muslim or Hindu or anything, but he's not smart enough to see the Christ that makes it possible.
That's what I was going to say. How can you be a Christian without Christ? And they really
you can't.
Don't
but he wants
it.
To live in a Christian nation, Christian society.
Sure.
He's safer there.
Sure.
And in fact, did you hear what RFK came out and said about Biden?
No, what's that?
Oh, this was great too. It goes right along with Richard Dawkins. Robert F. Kennedy is, of course, running for president, third-party ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but he came out and, you know, he's been pretty liberal in most things, but he's blunt about the threat to democracy. And he came out and said in a report at the Washington Examiner, he explained, but it's Trump. It's not Trump who's the greater threat. It's Biden, he said. I can make the argument that President Biden is the much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is that President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, to censor his opponent. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. These are really critical threats. Biden is the true threat to democracy, not Donald Trump. He doesn't like Donald Trump, but does not see Donald Trump as a threat to democracy and freedom.
You know what bothers me about this is that we're not a democracy. And that's
never
half
were.
The problem here,
mm-hmm.
is that we're not a democracy. And, you know, thank God we're not a democracy. I mean, imagine out and out majority rules, period. Period.
I wonder if I could put style on. style, can you know what we are as a nation?
We're a democratic republic.
We are a constitutional.
Constitutional republic.
Constitutional republic.
Right. There's a reason. That means our constitution is a republic, is rule of law. Laws that what do not change. Okay? And what laws do not change? God's laws
do not change.
And within a republic, there is a form of democracy through elected representation. But the overall part of a republic is a government that is governed by rule of law, laws that do not change. Where in a democracy, the people can change different laws, but not the laws that God has set in place. They can change speed limits and different things, but when it comes to things like thou shall not, must not, cannot, will not shed innocent blood, can't go there. So in other words, in a real republic, abortion couldn't happen.
In the third grade, I was given the definition, in a republic, majority rules with respect to the minority.
Right.
And that's very, very basic kind of skeleton view. But if you think of it that way, in a democracy, majority rules, period.
It's mob rule.
That's right.
In fact, do you know what the greatest Democratic vote in the history of the world was?
I'm listening.
We're going to talk about it tomorrow night. The topic of tomorrow night's Bible study is
crucifying.
The crowd was asked, you know, who do you want? Do you want this murderer, Barabbas, or do you want this innocent man, Christ? And in the most democratic voice, crowd screamed, give us Barabbas. And then they said, crucify. What do I do with Christ? Crucify him. A democracy is the emotional rule of the people. Why do you think that whenever there's like a school shooting or a problem, it's always gun control. They hit the minute there's an emotional tug at the heartstrings. You see, laws are to be made with long-term logic. What is in the best interest? What follows the Constitution? And it's supposed to be separated from that emotional moments people have, right?
That's right.
That's the big difference, and that's why they always go, Democrat Party is always about emotion, not about knowledge, not about logic, not about what's right and wrong, but go with the emotion at the time. And we used to call that in this country mob rule, didn't we?
That's right. And I'll tell you something interesting that's going on right now in the congressional district that I live in. I live in the South Euclid area for people in the Cleveland Heights district, but right now, you probably see women and men too armed with clipboards at the library, at the grocery store, and all this. And they walk up and they say that we're from the, we represent the League of Women Voters, and we that there's legislation pending about gerrymandering, and we want to outlaw it. See, but there's one problem with it that these liberal people fail to realize. The district that we live in was created by gerrymandering. It was created by gerrymandering because the argument then was we can't get anybody black elected. So they gerrymandered the district and made it. And now these same people, 15, 20 years later, are saying that we want to outlaw it. And I cannot for the life of me, then that like they're up to something. And it's interesting to me because that's what I say back to them all the time, that we are in a gerrymandered district. They took a slice of this, a slice of that, a slice of whatever, and they created it. And I mean, our district kind of runs, if you go, it goes from the hood to the Ritz. It's obvious it's a gerrymandered district. And so I'm just saying, what is going on here? These are the same people. Now they want to flip it. And this is the idea that the democracy, where they just want to change the law. But I'm saying we live in a gerrymandered district. And, so I just think that this is just kind of ironic, but it's typical stuff, typical liberal politics. It is.
It's like the old might as well voter beware. The old phrase is buyer beware, and today it's voter beware because there's very little truth out there, folks. You have to dig for it.
That's right. That is exactly right.
And here's one story I had to get out today. Our government, our deep state has been, our government been co-opted by the deep state. FBI admit spending every day interrogating Americans about social posts all day long. It's from by Around the Web and was published in the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoff. And FBI agents have been recorded during a home visit to a Stillwater resident admitting that scrutinizing Americans over their social media activities is a daily operation. Reason.com has confirmed. So we've got several groups in here, World News Daily, the Gateway Pundit, and Reason.com. Guy's last name I can't pronounce. His first name is Rolla.
Okay.
An Oklahoma resident.
Okay.
I kept trying to pronounce it. Encountered three FBI agents at her doorstep inquiring about her Facebook posts. And it's Abdella Jawad, and I guess, I'm not very good at some of the names. But anyway, her lawyer took to social media to post a video of the interaction. He filmed it. The video surfaced, came out last Wednesday, portrayed a tense exchange. In the video, she declines to speak with the agent and requests that they show their badges on camera. The agents would not complied, did not fulfill the request. She later verified with local police that these individuals were FBI, but they wouldn't show their badges. So anyway, the Facebook gave us a couple of screenshots of your account, one agent informed. And she questioned, hey, what about free speech? So the second agent, was wearing a red shirt and he responded reassuringly, yet he kind of revealed the frequency of such interrogations. He said, no, we totally do. We totally. That's why we're not here to arrest you or anything. We do this day, every day, all day long. It's just an effort to keep everybody safe and make sure that nobody has any ill will. They kind of didn't like the sound of her posts. But we're not here to arrest you. We're just here every day. We watch people. We keep you all monitored to make sure you don't cross a line. And the attorney, Shibley, expressed his concern, noting that this was the first instance he was aware where Facebook parent company Meta might have preemptively reported posts enforcement. Oh, really? Gee, I never knew that, you know, Biden has been pushing all these big media groups to, you know, report people, right? You know, and all of a sudden this attorney, I didn't know this. Anyway, the specific posts that drew the FBI's attention were not made clear, but the lady, Rolla, has recently expressed strong views about the conflict in Gaza, and she made some kind of strong statements against Israel, which you're allowed to make as long as you're not threatening, you know, doing certain things. And anyway, the lawyer put a post up. She said, well, what did she do right? She refused to speak to these agents without a lawyer. She demanded that they show their badges, which they wouldn't. And if they won't show your badge, they, you know, I'm not speaking to you at all. She refused to let them into her house. And she recorded the interaction and actually filmed it. What she did wrong was she left her house.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Do not let them in your house if they do not have a warrant, but don't you leave your house either. In other words, you stand, you can open the door and talk to them, but you do not walk outside with them.
That's right.
You do not let them in your house, especially when they will not show a badge. You are allowed to, in her case, she took a video and an audio of the meeting. And she said, well, this whole thing was like a fishing expedition. I don't fear them. My only concern, I told the cop, is that someone in my state will do something or that they would and then use my post in a malicious attempt to spear me. Just remember, I'm a Muslim. And she said, I have to follow my Islamic faith. And part of that faith is she's not very fond of Jews, right?
That's right.
And but it was interesting. It goes in, she's kind of speaking out of against Israel and all this. But this attorney made it clear how you handle FBI if they come snooping. And these agents were recorded on film saying, we do this every day. You know, we do this every day, all day long. It's an effort to keep everybody safe and make sure nobody has any ill will, unquote. We have terrorists coming across the border, thousands of them. We have what we believe to be Chinese soldiers, young men of military age. You don't just leave China without permission. Maybe one or two people might escape, you know, if they're really lucky. But thousands of them don't just leave China unless it's by permission of the Communist Party. Therefore, I'm more thinking these are soldiers of the Communist Party. We have all these violent gangs from MS-13 to three or four different terrible gangs from South America. But the FBI has time to sit there all day and monitor and talk to people about their Facebook posts and what are you doing, rather than hunting down the real criminals, the real terrorists, the real, you know, potential murderers, killers, drug dealers. You know, they haven't. We haven't arrested a lot of MS-13. We don't hear a lot about these gangs being broken up in our major cities. Well, the FBI is too busy watching your social media, Randy. They don't have time for the other guys.
That's exactly right. Hey, we're getting down to the bottom of the hour here. I got something that'll fill in probably like this last couple minutes here, and I think it's something everybody is kind of interested in. The ship. The ship with multiple backups never should have lost steering, and this is called the cover-up we now have proof of.
Mm.
Turns out the cargo ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing its collapse, not only had multiple backup power systems, but it also had multiple steering systems as well. Both federal and international maritime standards call for these auxiliary systems. They also need to be completely separated from each other so power and steering are never lost. When you break down the factors surrounding the crash, it becomes more and more suspicious. Investigators originally lied about what speed on the water was that day. It turns out that very little wind that would have that would have had zero effect on turning the ship towards the main pillar of the bridge. The new federal state of China the organization aimed at taking down the Chinese Communist Party insisted the CCP use something called remote towing technology to hijack the ship. Whistleblowers inside of the CCP believe the crash was a deliberate terrorist attack carried out by Chinese backers. And that's and that's the end of that article. Isn't
that
interesting?
Follow up after we take a break.
Amen. Let's go.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. You're listening to What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. And sitting in with me co-hosting this week is Deacon Randy Gay of Doers of the Word Baptist Church. We're filling in for Pastor Ernie. And you said you had an update on Ernie's travels.
Yeah. I heard that they got in. You know, they got in. It was like it wasn't the best flight flying in, but they made it in.
Where? I think you
and the weather wasn't great when they landed Monday. However, today they have their sunshine. They're a little achy and sore, he said, from the flight, but at least Mexico is looking more like Mexico now. So that's the update. They're starting to really have some good weather, and which I think is just kind of good, you know. It is.
So down in Mexico, okay.
That's right,
That was the part I wanted to make sure a lot of people were wondering where he traveled.
Yeah, where he was, yeah. And I'm hoping to everybody here that, and he promised he would, we want him to parasail. But we do. We want him to, you know, I've done it, but we want him to do it. And Ellie, his wife, said she was gonna make him do it. So we'll see if he did.
Yeah, we'll find out. She won't lie to us.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, I've got to respond to that story because I found in the Defiant America and a couple other places a story. There's a video clip of the Communist Party there, Chinese Communist Party whistleblowers, reveal China has the technology to cut off power to ships and other things, rendering the controls useless.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah, now this, I couldn't verify, the two sites had this, I can't verify completely like I like to, but the story goes, last year the U.S. State Department warned that China is capable of launching cyber attacks against critical United States infrastructure. We knew this, I did this story, including oil and gas line pipelines, rail systems, after researchers discovered a Chinese hacking group that had been spying on these networks. Now, this I know is valid. We did this story a while back and warned you about this. But an alert later, earlier this week, revealed a Chinese cyber espionage campaign had been aimed at military and government targets in the U.S. that wasn't widely reported. And the intelligence community assesses that China has almost certainly is capable of launching cyber attacks that could disrupt critical infrastructure services within the U.S., including, like I said, gas, oil, pipelines, rail systems, etc. And at the time we talked, the Chinese have 50 hackers to every one of our intelligence agencies.
Well, don't forget the EMP. Don't forget the EMP.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But they were talking, it's vital for our government network defenders to be vigilant. What's funny is Biden doesn't talk about this. The Biden administration hasn't done anything about this problem that we're aware of. And now a Chinese whistleblower came forward and revealed that China now has the technology to remotely cut off power to ships.
Oh,
and I'm going, if it can do it with a ship, maybe they could do it with planes that render the controls temporarily useless. Remote towing technology was reportedly used clear back in 2017 on the Hudson River in an attempt to harm a... in a direct attempt to harm a CCP whistleblower.
But how long does it take for a plane to crash, not being able to operate in the air?
Not very long.
Not very long. You know, you're talking about seconds. You take them out of control, and it's seconds.
We've had a couple of planes go down that they didn't know why. But anyway, journalist Laura Logan wonders why government officials were so quick to dismiss terrorism as causing the bridge collapse in Baltimore. In fact, we said that, Ernie and I said that. Wait a minute, Biden's up there going, "Oh, it's an accident. It's an accident. It's not terrorism." They had no idea what even happened. There wasn't time to do any, you know, investigating. And he's on. Oh, we're going to rebuild it. It wasn't terror. He had no idea what caused it. They still don't have an official cause, folks.
Well, he also said he was going to flip the bill for it, didn't he?
Yeah, we're going to flip the bill. Wait a minute.
But that's exactly what he said. I was going to say that too, Style, that he said. And, I mean, he said that within hours of when that happened. And that's important. He didn't sleep on that one. He said, right off the bat, we'll grab the tail.
He came out that quick. That tells me they were totally worried about terrorism. The first thing they did, deny, deny, deny. That means they were terribly worried about terrorism. The other thing is that ship was insured by Lloyd's of London, government doesn't have to pay because the first person to pay is Lloyd's of London. I found that out. The second is the city that controls the harbor, Baltimore, right?
That's right.
They are second. And then if they need help getting something expedited, the government, if it's a national security, which kind of is, the government can come in and help. But the basic cost has to be defrayed by the insurance that the ships have to carry. They cannot come into the port unless they are insured, and there's only one company in the world that insures cargo ships, Lloyd's of London. So anyway, a lot of the government people were, some of the people on the inside, active duty, military, retired. This is critical infrastructure, the people were all upset. The Department of Homeland Security, the intelligence agencies, Laura Logan said, they know this is a cyber attack on critical infrastructure corridor in the U.S. This eastern seaboard corridor is literally what connects parts of our north to our south, and this is going to really set us back. So, folks, we've got problems. They've been ignoring China as a threat. We call him China Joe because everything I've seen him do in office has aided and abetted the Chinese Communist Party and hurt America. I have not been able to find one person that could tell me one thing he's done that would help us more than it helps China.
That's right.
And I don't think you can come up with one either. Oh, by the way, do you know we had another barge collide with a bridge?
I did not know that.
Yeah, in Oklahoma, there was a bridge near the Care Lock and Dam in Salisaw, Oklahoma, was shut down when it was struck by a barge that went out of control. This is on the Care Reservoir, is completely shut down because this barge ran into the bridge. The highway patroller or the troopers are directing traffic away. It's going to be shut down until inspections can be completed. And the question people were asking is it related at all to the Baltimore disaster? The engineers were looking at the bridge, think it wasn't hurt too badly, and hoping it can be reopened here this week.
And remember also in Oklahoma, they're getting ready to build the tallest building in the world.
Yeah.
They're getting ready in the, yeah, and I'm pretty sure, isn't it in the world? I think it is.
Something like that. I saw that.
It'll be definitely the tallest one on the continent. Absolutely. But I think it might be the tallest building.
Maybe in the world. Yeah.
Might
one
be.
Or the other. But interesting, just another big barge hits a bridge. This time it didn't take it out. I think this bridge had some pilings out in front.
And did you know also that some of the workers that they that died on the bridge were illegals employed allegedly by the state to work there?
No, that I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, that I heard that. And it's interesting to me that like the whole thing is just a mess, you know. And to not even know how many people were on that bridge when it collided, because I was saw a brief article on the internet that they know who the last person was to cross it. It was a guy that worked at a bakery, and he said that he looked in his rearview mirror and realized something was amiss when he saw nothing in back of him.
Oh, well, there was one vehicle that had gone down they didn't know about, and they're still digging around. I don't know that to this day that they still have it figured out if there's anybody else went off that bridge.
Right, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Disasters take a while to figure out, folks, that it doesn't happen overnight.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and also just think about it. With our open society, people can go someplace randomly, and it's not like everybody's on you. Cameras are popping up more and more and more, but it's still pretty easy to kind of be on a bridge at the week of the night.
Nobody's monitoring. We neglected to tell the good news. Trump was able to post his $175 million dollar bond in that civil fraud case, and boy, is it a fraud. You know, it's funny, that's an oxymoron. It's called a civil fraud case. Well, it's the biggest fraud I know. Well,
yeah, the case itself is, too.
Yeah, so anyway, he can get his money back. He put up all cash for the bond, and this one gentleman, I guess, came out and decided to help him, wanted to help him, and figured Trump was a good, safe bet. And this prevents them from being able to seize his asset and makes it possible now for him to appeal. And we know that New York Attorney General Letitia James was hoping he would not be able to post bond so she could start seizing his properties. They thought they made the bond, high enough that he could never raise the money. 30 companies were approached. Nobody wanted to carry a bond that large because they require all cash. Nobody wanted to do it. And fortunately, the one appellate court cut it down. I still think $175 million. Trump's not going to go anywhere. Half the buildings in downtown New York he owns. he's not going to take a pocket full of cash and leave the country. I mean, he's got all these huge buildings all over, including Mar-a-Lago, that's worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And he's not a flight risk. This is what's so absurd, is that kind of thing is put up when they're worried somebody's going to skip out and run.
Well,
and
you know,
he's not going anywhere. He's running for president of the United States.
You know, the other thing that I have an article here that just kind of goes into it, and you've covered a lot of it, but they did the mock election with Trump running against Biden or Michelle Obama, and it says Donald Trump beats Michelle Obama by a hypothetical election number of 47 points to 44 points, and that's the exact total if he runs against Biden as well.
And in other words, if you're a real loyal Democrat, you're going to vote for whatever idiot they put out there.
Well, but here's to me was the most encouraging thing about it. They're obviously trying to get Trump to run. So they asked him the question, if Trump was convicted, they asked the pro-Trump people how many would vote for him. You know how many said they'd vote for him if he was convicted? 93%, which I thought was just that's
I'm
super.
I'm surprised it wasn't higher than that.
Yeah, it's 93%, and only 2% responded that it was very unlikely that they would vote for him. So the Trump supporters are definitely there and supporting him strong. I think that's just wonderful. But yeah, when I saw that 93%, I said, "Well, so it doesn't matter." So now, what are they going to do? That's the problem. What are they going to do?
Well, they're going to try and tie him up so he can't be out campaigning. But we're going to vote for him anyway, and hopefully, a lot of his good people will be out there campaigning for him. And we know if he's tied up in court, we know why. And they're out to stop him using. Well, remember, the end justifies the means. That's the leftist motto.
Yeah, because I still don't believe there'll be an election.
They will do. Right?
I still don't think there'll be an election. But it's too early to impose martial law, if you will, because we have multiple candidates. I think that like whatever move they make, it'll be when it's down when it's officially down to two. You know, whoever the two are going to be.
Well, we know who it's going to be. But
Yeah, we do. But I'm just saying, you know, when it's official, it's when any of the real shenanigans are going to take place, that's when it's going to happen.
Well,
like right now, it's too early.
If it's bad now, you know it's only going to get worse. Style, how much time do we have tonight?
We're coming up on 5 minutes right now, guys.
Coming up on five. All right. I want to do one quick thing, and then I'm going to do an invitation.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, that New York judge said that New York Fire Department guys booed Letitia James?
Yeah.
They were having that funeral, and she was speaking. I'm sorry. She was speaking at a church where the New York City Fire Department was there, and I don't remember the exact details. But anyway, she came up, and members of the New York City Fire Department booed her. And she was all upset. Oh, it's because I'm black. Well, the judge, New York judge, came and got into this. And he's saying, well, it's because the fire department in New York is racist. It's not because the fire and policemen all think that what she's doing to Trump is unfair. She's not backing our first responders. She's anti-police, anti-first responders. She's, you know, a troublemaker. I mean, she ran for election on the idea that she was going to get Trump, and yet they're turning around and taking a long article. It's got to be because she's black. It's got to be because it's racist, racist, racist. You know, it's amazing. Nothing can be that they don't like her because she's liberal. They don't like her policies. They don't like that she's hooked on crime. They don't like that she lets criminals loose on, you know, no bail. No, it's never about the facts. It's always got to be because of the color of her skin, not because she is a wicked, corrupt.
Well, she's joined Jesse and Al in being a persecution and poverty pimp.
Yeah,
that's what they do. They pimp persecution and poverty. That's what they do.
The policemen, the firemen in New York, they are anti-liberals. They hate what's going on in their city, the crime, the drugs, the homelessness. This is what they're mad at, and somebody comes out and they boo them. It has nothing to do with that person's race. It's their stupid, idiotic policies that are destroying the country. They're destroying New York City, and I can see why they would do that.
Yeah. Now, we're coming up on three, my friend, so I don't know how much time you need. But
there are a couple of things you need to know. Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is coming back. He has risen from the grave. He conquered death, and he's coming back for his children. Are you one of those children he's coming back for? Well, how do you know? He's coming back for the born-again believers. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. There's only one way to heaven. It's not through, quote, religion, going to church, a denomination, good works, clean living, you know, or just hoping for the best. No, that isn't going to work. You know, we know Scripture, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You've got to go through Jesus. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you can't see the kingdom of God, you're not a son or daughter, you're not a part of the family, and you're not going to make it to heaven when Jesus comes back. You won't be part of the rapture of the church. But the way is clear how to become part of the family of God. If you listen to the Bible study, you probably already know. But first, you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner, that your sins put his son on the cross. Jesus would have gone to the cross for one person if he could have saved just one. He saved millions, but he would have gone there. He paid the price for you, did a substitutionary death for you, for me, for Randy.
Okay.
And what you have to do is from your heart, from a repentant heart, understanding what you did, your sins put him there, you call upon God the Father with his heart that, I am sorry, Lord. I am sorry, God, that my sins put your son there. I am terribly sorry.
40 seconds, my friend. 40 seconds.
And once you do that, you will be forgiven. Then you can ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, to come into your life. Give yourself to him freely, and then he will give you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, the down payment on eternal life. You become a new creature, a new creation, a child of the kingdom, and you will be that born-again believer and a joint heir with Jesus.
We're running out of time. We're inside 10 seconds. So with that, good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.